This is a new dimension in sound.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
And now, let's return to Relationship Management on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Dr. Wayne Thompson.
And we're back here at Relationship Management as we are continuing this intimate discourse on the mate selection process. And so, what the Christian model is presenting to the wider community is that there is a proper sequence that can guarantee greater, healthier, sustaining marital relationships. And I think all of us certainly would want that in our lives. And the biggest foundational difference between the societal approach and the Christian approach is simply that society places massive points on the sexual side of the relationship. Whereas in the Christian theological model, massive points are placed on the commitment side of the model. So the society starts with eros love, and the Christian marriage starts with the agape love. And I need you to understand something. If you don't have commitment, you don't have anything. And commitment is necessary. And there is no way to circumvent that. I am concerned that many persons believe that commitment can be a button that is turned off and on, but nothing is further from the truth. You either have commitment or you don't. It's as simple as that. So what is going on then with relationships that start out with so much heat and passion? It is not a commitment to a person. That commitment is to the feeling, the sexual release, the sexual expression. What is dangerous about that? What is dangerous about that is, if the commitment is to the feeling and the expression, then you can go and pursue the feeling and the expression any and everywhere. But when you have a commitment to an individual, that places a restriction on everything else. Oh, hello, somebody. Commitment then is the act of binding yourself intellectually and emotionally to a course of action. You're on this course and you are committed to this course of action. You are using all of your faculties and you are using the whole reservoir of your emotions to direct all of your actions to this commitment. Oh my goodness. That sounds a whole lot safer than being committed just to the feeling. In other words, then, if we were to look at a few synonyms of commitment, one that comes to mind right away is loyalty. Oh my goodness. And if you're going to build a healthy marriage, you need loyalty. But loyalty cannot come on the principle of a feeling. Loyalty can only be the product of a commitment to a person. And that's why today we have so many marriages that lack loyalty. You know, it's almost as if people are only loyal as long as they are within sight. And the minute they are out of sight, there goes loyalty as well. Well, you see, this is the distinct difference between the Christian model and the secular model of the foundation of building relationships. If your commitment is to your sexuality, the minute you see something else, you go after it because your commitment is to the feeling. It's to the thrill. But when your commitment is to the other person, you produce the fruit of loyalty. You produce the fruit of dedication. You produce the fruit of allegiance. Oh, man. Let me tell you something. When you build a relationship through the commitment of agape love, then the capacity for loyalty, the capacity for dedication, and the capacity for allegiance spills over into the environment of the relationship. Now, this does not exonerate you from having difficulties and incidences where you disagree, because you are still two separate individuals. You know, I find it amazing that people seem to think that you cannot have an excellent relationship unless there is zero arguments or disagreements. That's not so at all. We seem to not recognize and understand that because there are two distinct personalities in the relationship, there will be a variety of opinions and ways of wanting to approach things. That is not a crime. Nothing's wrong with that. You see, individuality is critically important to marriage. This ideology of a simulation where there's only one identity, one way of doing things, is not healthy, nor is it conducive for marriage. So, the Christian model is saying to us, we begin with agape love, commitment. Now, let's understand this. We're still human beings. So, yes, the first attraction that you will still feel towards the person of the opposite sex is part of the passion that is engrossed in the Eros love. But the Christian model, after the passion is expressed and the interest is pursued, because of the Christian having commitment and respect and ethics and integrity, the passion is not allowed to flip over into sexual expression and sexual exploitation. The young Christian man, the young Christian woman acknowledges and recognizes, I have a strong drawing towards this person. When he or she becomes satisfied that that attraction is strong, then a commitment is made to get to know this person, to get to understand this person. And so then the process, oh my goodness, then the process of growing together can begin. Now, that's just the first one. And the second one, the self-giving love. And the self-giving love model, commitment is supposed to be dominant. And that's what we were addressing, to show the disparity between the world's view and God's view. See, commitment is to be dominant because we're talking about self-giving love. The resolution of a couple to be faithful and self-giving in their love is in many societies the most desired prerequisite for marriage. It is the most desired prerequisite for marriage. People want to know that the person they are going to spend the rest of their lives with has a commitment to being faithful and to be self-giving in their love. Commitment is as critical a component in parent-arranged marriages and in mate selection in the 20th, 21st century where the child makes the choice, him or herself. Let's be very clear with that. Commitment is still a critical component of both processes. When the parents used to choose, commitment was the hallmark. When the child chooses, commitment should be the hallmark. It is noteworthy that these marriages end in divorce far less frequently than do those that are based solely on romantic love. Marriages that are based on commitment end in divorce far less frequently than marriages that's based on romantic love, coming from the eros side of self-fulfilling sexuality. Now, however, this statistic does not imply that parent-arranged marriages are more likely than love-based marriages to achieve the Christian ideal. No, we're not saying that. For while there may be a potential for intimacy and passion to develop, the familial structure in traditional societies may actually hinder such development because individuality was overridden in the process, and we recognize that. Furthermore, then, the commitment which keeps these marriages together may be a self-giving commitment to one spouse than it is a commitment to the extended family or community, which in many cases severely condemn divorce. Now, when we look at the third one, the friendship love. In friendship love, intimacy is dominant. Oh, my goodness. In friendship love, intimacy is dominant. Intimacy is dominant. Now, I think what is important here is that we don't become confused between intimacy and sex. I think that is critically important. Intimacy is a critical component in assisting a marriage to survive. Intimacy can only be cultivated when there is closeness, when there is warmth, when there is familiarity, when there is deep friendship, when there is a deep concern for the other person. Mm-hmm. Okay? You see, when there is intimacy in a relationship, you have what we call friendship love. You truly care about this person. You are not selfish when it comes to this person. What affects that person becomes critically important to you. Whereas now, if this was a sexual eros type love, what is important is you getting your rocks off, regardless of how the other person feels. No, no, no. That's not how it is supposed to work. Okay? Now, we accept the fact that few relationships move into marriage on the basis of friendship alone. It does not negate the fact that it is an essential factor in sustaining a good marital relationship. Because you see, there are times when you may fall out as husband and wife, but the friendship love is still there. And so the friendship love actually becomes the safety net through which you begin to communicate one with the other again. And it is through the vehicle of the friendship love that the reconciliation and the restoration of husband and wife can take place. Oh my goodness. The reason why so many marriages are dry is because they do not have the safety net of friendship love. And you need some friendship love in these difficult times. Oh my goodness. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back right after this.